Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hope you're having a glorious day today. Hey, today I'm coming to you with a topic that you will not hear taught very often, if ever. You ready? Family partiality. We're going to talk about family partiality. It's been my experience in my faith life and my walk that many claimed believers, we're talking about claimed believers in this teaching, think that blood family, husbands, wives, not blood family, and then children, uncles, aunts, grandparents, whatever, family, has a different standard when it comes to God's word, sin, separation. But that clearly is not so from God's word. Why? God's not partial. We're going to show that to you. I've seen this many times. People practicing partiality in their families. And it's very, very sinful before a holy God. So before we go into this teaching, first let's set the stage in Scripture so we can agree that God sees partiality as sin based on His holy word. Leviticus 19:15. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. So you don't treat a poor guy different than a rich guy. You're totally impartial. That's what God is all about and wants from his people. 1 Timothy 5:21, and I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe things, these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. Paul's saying, don't favor each other in the body of Christ. Be fair and be impartial. That's how our Father is. Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and a great God, mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. That's meaning he's not partial to certain people. Acts 10:34-35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted in him. Pretty interesting. God is not impartial, or excuse me, partial. He's totally impartial. James 2:3-9. Ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and to the poor stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are ye become judges of evil thoughts? But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressor. So it's really clear. God requires his people to be impartial, never using partiality. We could say the same thing. God is not a respecter of persons. Romans 2:10-11. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. So the Lord is fair. He's just. He's always impartial, no partiality in this holy, holy, holy God of ours. So now that I've clearly established in God's word that God sees partiality as sin, I want to discuss just a few examples, excuse me, of what partiality is. Let's say a pastor is caught in some sin, stealing, adultery, whatever, but since he's popular and powerful, people overlook it and everything just goes on as normal. That's sinful partiality. How about a teacher? They may grant a favorite student more freedom, bending and breaking rules, because they like them more than the other students. That is sinful partiality. How about in a body? You may draw close to certain people because they kind of seem more suitable to your personal tastes and your likes. That's sinful partiality. How about a wife? She may overlook a husband's sin to not cause problems in her life, so she just goes along to get along. No, that's sinful partiality. That's preferring her husband over the Lord's truth, right? It is. We've seen a lot of people treat us, Sister Debbie and I, and believers we know, terrible. But the people who attend their religious sinful building, often they love them and care for them, showing great partiality. So because we're not from their local body, they don't love us. Yeah, sinful partiality. How about this one? You may like a certain Bible teacher, even though you admit you don't agree with everything he says. You think some things he teaches is false, are false. But then another teacher who you dislike, you go after him for all types of things that you disagree with. Even though you agree with him on much, you treat him differently because you dislike him and you try to expose him. That's sinful partiality that won't stand before a holy God. So these are all sinful partiality examples. God's going to judge you or me for those, lest we repent. Apostle Peter said, should we obey God or man? Acts 5:29. Clearly we obey God no matter the cost. They showed us the example. They kept preaching Jesus and they got beat for it. So moving on, for this lesson, I want to discuss a certain type of partiality, like I said at the title, which involves families, partiality inside families. Again, I'm talking about claim believers here in this teaching on family partiality. So we've seen many people who will hold biblical standards high for others outside their family than they hold for their own inner family or blood family. They'll overlook sins, worldliness of sons and daughters, just to have a relationship with them or grandchildren, while they judge others outside the house harshly for the same exact issues. I've seen it over and over again. I've been harshly judged and cast off by men for, let's say, being too bold when their own sons or their own teachers that they like are bold, very bold in many ways. But they cast me off because they dislike me for some other reason, and they overlook the boldness in the people they choose or blood relatives. This is sinful partiality. It's not of God's Holy Spirit. So let's go to Scripture. Let me have a drink of water here. Let's go to Scripture and look at some family impartiality in Scripture. Exodus 32, 26 and 28. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, go in and out from the gate through the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell that day 3,000 men. Wow, they killed family members over sin. They were in idolatry. That's biblical impartiality, honoring God. How about Deuteronomy 21? God tells dads to take rebellious sons to the elders and stone them. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. And if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold of him, bring him unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son is a stubborn and rebellious. He'll not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he shall die. So shall they put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now that is family impartiality, stoning their own children over sin to obey and honor God. Do you see how God is not partial to family members? That's what I'm showing you here. How about God with a man, David, who he loved, and it was a man. David was a man after his own heart. But the Lord punished David for his sin. 2 Samuel 12, 13 and 14. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. God killed David's son. He didn't give David a pass. He forgave him because David repented, but he still took his son. There was a cost to his sin. Total impartiality. How about this next one? The Lord tells us he comes to divide families over him and truth. Matthew 10, 34, 37. Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I've come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be as of his own household. And he that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. See that? He comes to divide over sin, faith, whatever it is. Partiality in families goes against the Lord. It's idolatry. It's witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. A lot of people do it. They lift up their sons, daughters, grandchildren, husbands, wives above obeying God. This is a serious, serious matter that I'm bringing out here. How about Jesus? He gives us a great example of impartiality with family members. Matthew 12, 47 through 50. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he said unto them that told him, Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. Jesus raised the bar of what family is there. Blood doesn't really matter when it compares to the eternal brethren that will be with in eternity. Yeah, total impartial actions by this holy God. So the main point of this teaching is that if we claim Christ, his word, his truth, his spirit, his ways, we must come far above our flesh, far above family and blood relations, and we must yield ourselves to the will and to the word of God, obeying it above all else. If you allow sin, false traditions, compromise in parents, siblings, sons, daughters, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, whatever, just to have relations with them, you're in sin. And Jesus said, you are not worthy, because the Bible teaches us to separate from sinful claimed believers. I've got articles on that at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. The Bible, the Word of God, is very clear. We're to call out sin in claimed believers. We're to call them to repentance. And if they remain in their sin, we're to avoid them, mark them, leave them. As a publican, Jesus said, go read it in Matthew 18. Total impartiality. Now, we know the cost, Sister Debbie and I, and people that we are united to. Many of us have lost our entire families, friends, children. We personally have separated from parents, siblings, children over truth. We know the reality of this impartial biblical life. It's not something that's foreign to us. It's not something that we've ever not practiced. We practice what we preach. It's very hard on the flesh, but once you do it, it emboldens you, strengthens you, separates you, makes you holy. God blesses you with more grace. It's honoring to God to keep his word and ways above all else. Otherwise, it's total idolatry. Think of it this way. Taking the easy way, partiality with your family, it might make your life easier here, but it's going to make your judgment before a holy God terrifying, lest you repent. So it's my hope, because of this teaching and God's word mostly, that you will test yourself and judge your family relationships. Do you judge them the same as everyone else per the word, holding them to the tight standard of holiness and obedience? Or have you really turned the truth away from God's word, watered it down, compromised, just to keep relationships that you desire? Sons, daughters, grandchildren, husbands, wives. Are you willing to lose all those relationships, counting the cost for Christ? Or are you really just a hypocrite, saying you love God most, but you don't show it and your actions most. If you do that, if you favor people above God, again, you are making family an idol. Go read the Old Testament. God hated idols. He hates them in the New Testament just the same. You do not want to be guilty of it, or your soul is in grave, grave danger. So consider, this is something I need to really ponder in my life, and you should too. Consider that if we use impartiality properly, that means separating from family members. I found this to be true. Separating from anyone, that it's what honors God, and it's what the sinful people need to see the cost to their sin to bring them to repentance. That's biblical love. True biblical love is willing to lose a family member, a friend, whatever, brother, sister, over the truth of God, because you love God most and you're trying to guide them back to truth and the saving of their soul. If you allow someone to live in sin, a son, a daughter, grandchildren, whatever, husband, wives, without saying anything, without compelling them to repent, you don't love them. You love your relationship with them more than you love God and more than you love their eternal soul. Think about that. If your sons and your daughters are worldly, rebellious, going away from the things of God, and they die in their sin, they're lost for eternity. And if you haven't done anything about it just so you could have favor and relationship with them, you're a stain against God's holy truth. You're not working for his kingdom, and those people are your idol. I'm just telling you, love the truth. You need to repent. So consider that. I've seen it in my life. People need impartiality. They need rebuke. They need correction. When they listen, of course, it's in long suffering, patience, kindness. But if they rebel against the word of God, they get a rebuke and they get a sending off till they change their minds and their hearts, just like Paul did with the man in 1 Corinthians 5. Just like Paul said with the false teachers, let them emasculate themselves in Galatians 5. Later, he says, the gifts of the Spirit are patience, long-suffering, joy. Yeah, the Spirit doles out how we're supposed to act based on the situation. False teachers and people in sin, we rebuke. We never, ever have long-suffering in sin. But the people that want to come out of their sin, the people that want to strive, they get the patience, the long-suffering. That's where the impartiality comes in. And making sure that we're clinging to God's word most and not to the people that are around us because of family or possibly brother and sisters in the Lord. So I want to be clear. If you're not loving your family enough to be totally impartial and you overlook their sin, you're acting as a coward. You're fearful of people. Revelation 21:8, no fearful cowards will inherit the kingdom of God. You need to go consider that. And if you're wondering, well, what do I separate from people on? Brother Paul tells us in 2 Thess 3 to separate from a brother and don't even eat with him if he's just lazy. Yeah, go read it. And then all the other sins, all the way up the ladder, lying, stealing, adultery, drunkenness, worldliness, carnality, false doctrine, false teacher association. Yeah, those are all sins that are worthy of separation so that people can see their need to come back and repent like the prodigal son had to. You cannot find salvation living in your sin. You must repent and forsake your sin. Hebrews 10:26 tells us there's no sacrifice for willful sin. Calling them to repentance and turning from their sin to Christ is their only hope. That can only be done by impartial discipline. So remember, we covered this. God's no respecter of people or persons. He's going to judge you, or he'll judge me, for our willful sin, lest we repent, turn away from our partiality and all our other sins that we keep, forsake them, be willing to forsake family over the truth of God and to cling closer to God. Will you forsake friends and family to draw closer to God? Interesting concept, isn't it? Let me leave you with this verse. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is far above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So if a person is wanting to draw close to God, oh, they get all that, mercy, good fruits. The key is without partiality. Doesn't matter who it is, King David, your neighbor, your son, it doesn't matter. Everyone's held to the same standard of God. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not impartial. Excuse me, he's not partial. He's totally impartial. How about you? If you're supposed to be modeling Christ, how about me? Do we live that same way? Are you willing to tell your closest family members about their sin they need to repent of or they'll lose their soul? Are you willing to hide it and silence yourself to find favor with man, thus denying the Lord that bought you with a price? Hey, I hope you're blessed by this teaching. Go test yourself. Go test your family relationships. You treat them different than others. If you do, you're in grave sin. I hope you'll repent. I hope this kind of rare teaching on family partiality has opened up your eyes. You can go and find many, many more teachings at don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. Why? Because we're impartial about the truth. We love everybody. We want all to come to the knowledge of salvation. We want all to repent of their sin, forsake them to the saving of their soul. Apostle Paul talked about following doctrine and the saving of your soul. If you've got a genuine faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to follow the doctrines that have been laid out in His Word. And if you don't, you're in rebellion and sin. No rebellious, willful sinner is going to inherit the kingdom of God. That includes those that practice family partiality. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, let us know how we can help you in the faith. Repent and obey the gospel. May God be praised.